U.S. wants Gaddafi out of power. Libyan rebels willing to fight him, but they're badly equipped and untrained. Solution? Arm them and train them.
But Hillary Clinton says, we tried that before, remember? And she said, it was a mistake. Here she is on Fox News last year talking about Afghanistan.
When the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, we had this brilliant idea that we were going to come to Pakistan and create a force of Mujahideen, equip them with Stinger missiles and everything else to go after the Soviets inside Afghanistan. And we were successful. The Soviets left Afghanistan, and then we said, great, goodbye.
Do we hate Gaddafi enough to risk creating another bin Laden? It's the takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It is Thursday, March 31st.
And we'll take a look at Libya, where the most vivid signs of a developing situation there may not be on the battlefield at all. Libyan Foreign Minister Moussa Koussa has resigned from his post, defected to the United Kingdom. CIA agents reportedly already on the ground in Libya now, working with British MI6 agents to direct airstrikes and gather intelligence about Libyan forces. The rebels have been backtracking on gains from recent days, fleeing from Ras Lanouf and the city of Brega, back towards Ajdabiya. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney says the administration isn't disheartened by the recent reversals.
We remain very confident in the capacity of the NATO coalition to push the Gaddafi forces back to protect Libyan civilians.
As the fighting drags on, there's a worry it could result in a complicated stalemate. Meanwhile, this morning, NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen confirms that the coalition has taken full control of air operations in Libya. NATO Commander Admiral James Stavridis says the U.S. role is being reduced.
We'll see the strike part of this and the aviation combat air patrol will be filled largely by the allies, and the United States will shift to enablers.
Moving to Yemen this morning, Yemen's President Ali Saleh has made a new offer to protesters demanding his exit. He's proposed staying in office until elections are held, but transferring his powers to a caretaker government. And the UN Nuclear Agency is advising Japan to consider expanding the evacuation zone once again around the Fukushima nuclear complex. That's after high levels of radiation were reported in a village 25 miles from the Fukushima plant. UN Nuclear Chief Yukiya Amano says the crisis is far from over.
The situation continues to be very serious, and the efforts to overcome this crisis is increasing.
That's all because of worries of radiation contamination. Officials say more than 1,000 bodies within a 12-mile radius of the plant have still not been collected.
In Congress, Democrats and Republicans are said to be closer to a budget compromise. A tentative deal cuts $28 billion less from the budget than Republicans wanted and $23 billion more than Democrats had previously agreed on. House Speaker John Boehner says it's time to find a solution.
Pass the damn thing, all right? And send it over here and let's have real negotiations, instead of sitting over there rooting for a government shutdown.
Even with a total of $33 billion in cuts, it would be the largest single-year budget cut in U.S. history.
Well, he sounds frustrated. Ohio's legislature has passed a bill to limit public workers' bargaining rights. It heads to the desk of Governor John Kasich now. India released a preliminary census count today. Officials say the population is 1.2 billion people, or 17% of the world's population. Looking at markets, Asian markets and European indices are mixed. Futures are up for Wall Street. The Dow gets underway at 10,997. The S&P opens at 1,194, and the NASDAQ begins trading at 2,454.
Well, we're going to ask about whether getting our news from tweets and blog posts means we're not reading long articles in magazines anymore. I'm going to speak to one person who says that's not necessarily true. We're also going to head off to Western Africa, where the country of Ivory Coast could be on the verge of civil war. How is that different than what's happening in Libya? We'll explain. First, though, we will go to Libya. How viable is it, the plan to arm the rebels there? Or do we even know who these rebels are and who we'd be arming and training? We're going to talk in a few minutes.
What's your take? Leave a comment at thetakeaway.org or call us toll free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.